We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome in to another episode of 30 Minutes of Hell podcast. I am your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. We're brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts under 30 Minutes of Hell. And we appreciate you guys taking some time to listen to us talk about some Arkansas basketball. Unfortunately, today is not a super positive day about Arkansas basketball. The Hogs suffered the biggest home loss in Bud Walton Arena history on Saturday, getting 30-pieced by Auburn. It was just a poor effort all around from everyone, especially in the second half. I thought that Arkansas held their own pretty well, had a pretty good game going for about the first 15, 16 minutes. Then Auburn started to pull away just a little bit before halftime, and then it just fell off a cliff after halftime, and it wasn't like they were just shooting good or we were just having bad defensive breakdowns. It was just a lack of everything. It felt like the Hogs just kind of gave up at some point in the game, and you never want to see that. Certain aspects of a game that aren't going your way, that's one thing. Everyone has bad games in college basketball. Must said it in his post game. Everyone has stinkers, but this is not just a bad game. They just gave up on it at some point, and that is very uncharacteristic of Musselman teams. Even in losses in the past, Muss has always had teams that play hard to the final whistle, always have tremendous effort and energy, especially intensity on the defensive side of the ball, and that's just some things that we haven't seen all year. We've been talking about it all year, but it was on full display in this game. And so I'll throw it over to you guys. Joey, what are your thoughts on this game? How devastating is it for Arkansas, man? What is going on?
Yeah, you know, Brandon, I could sit here and I could rant about how our defense is lazy, our perimeter, paint, pick and roll, transition, our defense is horrid. I could sit here and rant about that. I could rant about how we only shot 15 free throws when we're averaging 28 a game. I could complain about how we got out-rebounded by 14 boards. But, you know, when it comes down to it, it's a lack of effort. Minifield even said it in his post-game presser that they just quit. And we can't have that, you know? Even if this team is a tournament team, which I'm sure we'll get into later, even if we find a way to get into the big games, we're not just playing to make the tournament anymore. You know, we're a program that has shown consistency over the last couple of years. We've made three consecutive Sweet 16s. Am I wrong? We shouldn't just be shooting for that mark anymore. We should be shooting for championships. And this is not a championship team. No matter what way you cut it, it's not. The effort doesn't show it. And effort isn't something that's coached. You know, I'm at a loss for what to expect in the rest of the season. We had such high hopes for this team. Arkansas as a whole had high hopes for the Razorback team this year. And I'm just, effort is something that can't be taught. And if we're not having it 14 games in, then what's going to happen in the rest of the season? You know, I'm at a loss for everything.
The worst part about the lack of effort is I feel there are guys on our bench that will give you that effort. There are guys that want to be there, and we're not seeing playing time from them. That's one of the most aggravating things I've seen. I'm a big Laydon Blocker guy. I want to see Laydon Blocker play. And he's one of our best energy guys. Him and Minifield together in the backcourt. I mean, come on. Come on. That's what we need to see. And we're not getting that. I feel Mus has had a lot of trouble finding a lineup that works. And I was shocked to see Devo come off the bench because I thought that he was kind of just, coach's pet. Had to be there, but my goodness, I kind of wish he would have stayed on the bench a little bit. And Devo has a lot of love from me being an Arkansas fan, from everybody in Arkansas, but there has to be a point in time where we got to realize maybe we need to see a little less of Devo in certain games.
And Matt, let me jump in on that, because I completely and totally agree with you. Devo has been a great player for the Razorbacks. He's not been it this year. We've seen a couple games where he's had a solid game. Not dissing on Devo or anything, but he's not the defender that everyone had hoped he would be this season. I'll leave it at that. He was minus 22 in the game on his plus minus score in against Auburn, and he every time I watch him on defense, I have not been impressed this season. But I completely agree. I think it may be time to move in a different direction, maybe away from those thoughts.
Yeah, and it's not just a Devo thing. It is a Mekhi Mitchell thing. It is a Jalen Graham thing. It is a Lawson thing. It is a Brazil thing. I mean, there are just a bunch of guys, a bunch of stars. They're supposed to be our leaders, not having any effort whatsoever. And so, I mean, like our high school coach used to do, one, two, three, four, five, get in there. Let another five play if they're not getting out there and playing well.
But
I mean,
then Matt, it comes to the point of what do you prefer more, effort or talent? Because the talent is there for this team. You know, like
then
how can you
show me.
choose?
Then
I
show me.
know, I know. I'm on your side. I'm not arguing with you here. I'm just saying, how do you say, okay, let's get five guys in that have more effort, but they don't have an ounce of the talent that our other five have. We just, like you mentioned, we do not have a leader on this team. We don't have anyone who will step up and be the leader, and it's sad with the amount of talent.
Man, I am just tired of seeing people walk back on transition. I'm tired of seeing people jack up threes only, not trying to pass the ball, move the ball, get in the paint. And the people that have been, that we have seen do that, are not playing in the game. Where's Davenport? Where's Blocker? I mean, we need that, but I'm off my soapbox.
Matt, I thought it was interesting too. I know that you were just naming a couple players because it's kind of been everybody that has been kind of a lack of effort, but you kind of listed off a big part of our center and forward rotation there with Mekhi Mitchell, Trevin Brazile, Jalen Graham, Chandler Lawson. Those are the guys you mentioned, and I know that you had more in mind. But coming into this season, I had concerns about our interior defense, about our interior in general. I like who Mekhi Mitchell is as a player. I think he's very high IQ and can pass very well. He did have a foot injury this summer that I thought might limit him in terms of like stamina and athletic ability. We haven't seen it as much, but there were times in this game where he was just letting dudes run by him in transition, not even trying to hustle back and stay up with him and contest layups on the fast break. And some of these other guys are showing the effort. Chandler Lawson has been a revelation. I did not expect him to be as good as he is, but he's now not playing to the level that we saw him play early in the season.
Exactly.
Early on, we thought, oh my goodness, we found a defensive anchor. Those big man problems are solved. He was fantastic against Zach Edey. He did really good against Bacot, against Filipowski. All these big guys, these huge name guys, we were thinking that we had something special because he was holding them pretty well. But then you look at just the last couple of games, even some of the mid-majors we've played have had interior presence that has really given us trouble, no matter who is on the court. And not all of that can be just attributed to effort, because I do think that guys like Lawson do play hard. They're just not playing up to the level we thought they were going to play either. And so when you combine the two, when you have, like, kind of like Joey was saying, when you have to combine, or when you have to choose between the guy that's playing harder or the guy that's more talented and gives you more versatility on the court, it's hard to make that decision between the two. And it's not a decision you should have to make, especially at this point in their careers, but also at this point in the season.
The most talented players should be the ones giving the most effort at the end of the day.
I agree completely. Yeah, I agree. So getting back to this game a little bit, I mean, you guys are exactly right in everything you said, I thought, but there's not a ton of positives to take away. I mean, what do you take away from a 30-point home loss? But there were a couple things that did go a little bit better on the court. Like Minifield continued to shoot pretty well. He did take 9 3-point attempts, but he hit at 44% from beyond the arc. I thought that was great. He continues to be a difference maker on offense. Mm-hmm. So I do like to see that. I thought that at times in this game, he kind of felt himself a little bit and thinking that he needed to take over. And when you're down that many points, maybe somebody does need to take over. But it kind of played into what Matt mentioned earlier, that there wasn't as much ball movement, that he was kind of taking some shots and forcing the issue a little bit. And coming off of a big 30-point game, the team is losing. Somebody's got to, you know, take control. So I get it. Yeah. But Musselman did talk about in his post game that there was only 165 passes in this game and their team mark is 200. And Muss thought he didn't have the numbers in front of him, but he said that it was probably a low for him at Arkansas, that 165 passes. So just not a great showing on either end of the court, really. Trevin Brazil had 11-7. Pretty good game. He showed a little bit of the aggression that we saw in the last game, where he's trying to take guys off the bounce a little bit, get into his shot a little bit more. I still want to see more of it. There's still a lot left on the table when it comes to Brazil, but I like to see that he's gaining a little bit of confidence in himself to create some of those shots. So that was one little positive I kind of take away from this game. And then the last thing I wanted to mention is that Jalen Graham is continuing to be a pretty good rebounder in his last few games. That has been a very a vocal point from Musselman, stressing what Graham needs to do better to stay on the court, because we see how good he is offensively, and he just needs to be more consistent as a rebounder and as a defender, and just more aggressive overall when the ball is not in his hands. And so in this game, he had 6 total rebounds, but like 3 or 4 of them were offensive in one possession when he just couldn't get the ball to go through the hoop. He kept getting his own rebound over and over again, but that's still an effort play. I mean, he got like 3 offensive rebounds on one play. So still something that we should commend him for. He can be very frustrating to watch as a fan sometimes, but I do hope that he continues to show consistency in some of these areas, because he is a very talented scorer. He does help the team if he can be a net neutral or net positive aspect outside of just scoring. So that's still a good thing to take away from this game. Hopefully he can continue that trend. But
you know,
Brandon,
it's almost like, which we may have talked about this before, it's almost like Musselman went out this year and got all these offensive guys and said, forget about defense, like he's had a focus on in the past. Because, I mean, we've got all these guys who are terrific scorers, or can be. I mean, Battle, Graham, Mark, we've got the offense. We're just, our defense is so incredibly bad, it's comedic at this point.
Yeah. I do like seeing, going back to a positive, I like seeing Brazil at the top of the key getting the ball and taking it in. That's when I feel like he's at his best, because he's a threat at the top of the key for a three, so they have to step up on him. You get a good first step, he's gone. And I would like to see more of getting him in motion and finding him kind of ISO'd at the top of the key. But we'll see how that goes.
I will say we saw a couple good offensive sets run, a couple plays that led to some buckets. That I, Matt, I know you mentioned earlier in the season you'd like to see more sets, and I thought that there were a couple that were ran very well.
Yep.
All right. Well, Arkansas gets back in action next on Wednesday night on the road for their first true road game of the season. They are one of only 3 teams left in the country that has yet to play a road game this year. They've got a couple of neutral site games in the Bahamas and in the BOK Center against Oklahoma. But Wednesday night, they travel to Georgia for their first true away game, first away SEC game, trying to bounce back from this bad loss. And we're going to get into more of a breakdown and a preview of Georgia right after a quick break.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, welcome back in. Hogs travel to Athens to take on Georgia for their second SEC game. This will be Georgia's home opener for the SEC. They're currently ranked number 82 in the net rankings, 72 on KenPom. Hogs are outside of the top 100 again in the net rankings, but they're right around that same spot. I think they're currently 71 on KenPom, and I know that changes like by the hour when games are being played, but relatively close to Georgia in some metrics. Georgia's not a team to me that just stands out on the court or on the box score. They don't stand out in any particular one stat category the way that like when we were coming into Auburn, we knew that they were a great offensive rebounding team. We knew that they passed the ball very well, very high assist totals as a team. And I don't see a lot of those kind of things from Georgia. They're just kind of solid all around, fundamentally solid. They spread the scoring around a little bit. They've got three different guys averaging about 10 points a game. And they're just a hard team to beat, especially at home. They've been on a heck of a stretch late. I think they've won like, what, 9 in a row, and they're 9-0 at home this year.
Yep.
And that 9 wins in a row includes their first SEC game against Missouri. And Missouri is another one of those teams that's kind of subpar, kind of close to where Arkansas is in the net rankings. But going on the road and winning in the SEC, especially for your first game of the season, is not an easy thing to do. So props to Georgia for that. I think Mike Crean has them going in a good direction. They're a pretty solid team and someone that Arkansas cannot take for granted, cannot take lightly. This is another quadrant two opportunity for the Hogs. And we discussed it last time we talked. Hogs cannot drop anything outside of quad one at this point if they want any hope of making the tournament. And they still have to win some big games too, but they definitely can't be dropping games like this. So very important game, in my opinion, for the Hogs to win here to keep their hopes alive for the season. Some of Georgia's key players I wanted to touch on. Jabri Abdur-Rahim, actually the son of Sharif Abdur-Rahim, who used to play for the Kings when Musselman coached there and also played for the Hawks when Musselman was an assistant there. He is currently averaging 12.9 points per game for this Georgia team, leading them in scoring. Averaging a career high 3.5 rebounds a game, shooting over 43% from downtown. That's a huge key that the Hogs are going to have to pay attention to. And Noah Thomason also averaging over 12 points a game, also shooting 37% from downtown. Those two guys are the leaders of this team offensively, really all around, but they're both very good shooters, have to know where they are at all times. Cannot let them get going and get hot, or this could turn into another ugly game if Arkansas loses track of them on the perimeter. And then one other name of note I wanted to throw out there was RJ Melendez, also averaging right around 10, little under 10 points a game. Name might be a little bit familiar. He actually scored 10 points against Arkansas in round one of the NCAA tournament last year for the Illinois Illini. So that'll be interesting for Mus to get to game plan against him again, someone he's already seen and shot 50%, 10 points against the Hogs last year, against a pretty good defensive Hog team last year. That team struggled offensively a little bit, but they're far better than this one defensively. So just a name I wanted to throw out there. What do you guys see out of this Georgia team? What are you looking for from Arkansas in this game?
Yeah, with these players that are high volume, high percentage three-point shooters, we definitely need to be reactive on defense. I know I continuously harp on our Razorback defense, but we just get caught not rotating or rotating late, and we miss backdoor cuts, we miss off-ball screens, and it in turn leaves guys open for threes, open for layups, and we just got to be a little more reactive on the defensive side of the court. Any decent passing team is going to eat us alive because we're not being reactive right now. So really want to see us come out good defensively and really moving before the ball hits a player's hands. I think someone that we really need to watch is Chiwa. You may have mentioned Brandon. He's their starting center, a true 7-footer. He had 18 and 11 against Mizzou, including 4 offensive rebounds. So big body down low. Definitely need to keep him off the glass. And I think he's a decent free throw shooter too. I think he hit 8 for 9 in their game against Mizzou from the line. So went 5 for 5 from the field. So definitely want to watch him coming off of a big game against Mizzou last week.
I just want to see effort and discipline. I just want to see them come out and have some discipline defensively, offensively, everywhere. One of my favorite quotes that I've ever heard is from Mike Tyson, and he says, "Discipline is doing something you hate like you love it." Some of these guys look like they hate basketball, to be honest. They don't look like they want to be there. So play the game, even if you're not having a great game. You can't stand playing this game. Come out and play it like you love it, because it's your livelihood right now. And I just want to see them play like they love the game, make us proud, and just have some effort. I can go on and on about things I want to see, but that is going to be the game changer, is effort and discipline. So that's all I have on what I want to see from Arkansas against Georgia. And Georgia's well-rounded. They're going to give us a game. They kind of remind me of the well-roundedness of Oklahoma. Oklahoma's definitely better, but they're just all around a solid team. So,
yeah. And I like what you said, Matt, because at this point in the season, we can look at matchups, we can look at stats, we can look at where we might have advantages, but until Arkansas starts fixing things that are going wrong in every single game, it doesn't matter who they're playing. I mean, sometimes it seems like they've showed up better for bigger games this year. Maybe they have, maybe they get more excited about that, play down to their competition, whatever. But until they start, like you said, just showing more discipline, more urgency, more intensity, it doesn't really matter who's on the other side of the ball or what they do well, because every team's beating us in their own ways. It's not the same thing. It's not one little thing that we're giving up that's, you know, costing us games. It's just urgency. It's effort in a lot of these games. So just a lot. I'm really focused on Arkansas being better in this game more than I am so much the matchups about what Georgia brings to the table, if that makes sense. So we'll get right back into another little segment here where we're going to do some predictions on this Georgia game and then some more NCAA tournament talk after another quick break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right. Arkansas goes on the road for their first true SEC away game on Wednesday night versus Georgia. So real simple question for you guys. Does Arkansas win this game?
Yes. Yes, I think we do win this game. I'm hoping that, you know, a good kick in the butt maybe will spark a little fire in these guys. Maybe the hate from Arkansas right now in general will spark a little fire to prove us wrong. So that's all we can hope.
I mean, if I'm the Razorbacks, I'm embarrassed at the loss to Auburn. It was our biggest loss since 1951, I think that I read. I predicted a win against Georgia in our last episode, and I'm going to stick with it. I think we come back with a fire underneath us and hopefully grab that dub.
Well, I think we're all in agreement today. I do think that the beating they took should, if nothing else, awaken their pride a little bit and have something else to play for. Although I don't know why it wasn't awake already, but that's beyond the point at this point. Musselman talked about in his press conference today, we're recording on Monday, said that they had a great practice this morning, that for the first time in his college coaching tenure, he actually had 5 scholarship guys run the scout team. Usually they have some GAs, some walk-ons, maybe they'll throw in a guy, like if they need someone that's pretending to be a good shooter, they can use a certain player to be on the scout team. But for the first time in his college career, they had 5 scholarship players going against the main rotation today, trying to be more prepared, trying to pick up the intensity in practice. And he noted that it was a very physical and good practice. And that's something that we definitely want to hear, because physicality was a huge issue against Auburn as well.
Yeah.
So I think I agree with you guys. I think that the butt kicking they took, hopefully they've picked it up in practice this week. Maybe this will change some things. Maybe this is one of those turning points. I know a couple of years ago, after they got their butts kicked, Musselman brought out the weighted vests and he made them do closeouts with bricks in their hands. And all of a sudden they won like 12 of their next 13 games or something like that.
That's what
and
we need.
Bring them out.
Changing something little like this in practice may not always seem like, a world changer, but you never know. That might be all it takes. Picking up the intensity, changing the mindset, getting guys going in the right place mentally. Who knows? Maybe this will be a changing point. So, but I do think it starts with a win on Wednesday. And so that brings me to my next question then. We're all in agreement that Arkansas does win this game. Who is your prediction for the player of the game for Arkansas? Who has the best game for the Hogs on Wednesday night? And I'm going to go ahead and jump in here first, keep letting you guys answer my questions before me. So I'm going to take this one. I think that Devo has a big game this Wednesday. I know we've been talking about how he's been struggling, how maybe it's time to let some of these other guards get a little bit more run, a little bit more minutes whenever Devo doesn't have it. But he is the senior on this team. He's supposed to be the leader. We've seen flashes of him having really good games this year. Just 2 games ago against UNC Wilmington, he had probably his best game of the season. And if there's ever a time for him to step up and bring this team along with him and provide the spark, even if it's not always scoring, if it's defensive intensity, if it's passing, whatever, I think it's now on the road where offense doesn't always travel as well. So this team is going to have to be locked in more defensively. I think Devo brings that. I think he helps this team get a win on Wednesday. Mm-hmm. I'm calling Devo as my player of the game.
Okay. Let's hear it, Matt.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm going to go with Trevon Brazil. All right. I'm thinking he's going to have a big game. I think we kind of saw him get into a little bit of like his comfort zone, like I said, seeing those plays at the top of the key and everything. And, he's in a way been disappointing to what we expected him to be. And I think that a kick in the butt and, hey, we need somebody to be that guy like you were supposed to be. I think he is going to try to step up to that role, and I think he's going to have a really big game just across the board. I think rebounds and points. He may not score the most, but I think as far as impact-wise, Brazil's going to be that guy.
Well, yeah, wasn't he projected to be a top 50 or top 100 player coming into this year? I agree, Matt. It has been disappointing, and I would love to see him explode next game. Yeah. I'm going to say that my player of the game is Tremont Mark. We have seen sparks kind of similar to Devo, kind of similar to what you said about Brazil, Matt. We've we've seen sparks of greatness from Mark. He led the way against a couple different teams, but we really haven't seen him be our best player since Abilene Christian. I think he's due for a big one. I like his matchup. I think that he'll be able to light up the court if he can provide the effort, an effort that we unfortunately didn't see at all last game. I'm not sure if this is just me wishing for him to be our leader, our guy. We talked about it earlier in the season how we expected him to be our leader. So I'm hoping I'm not just riding that wave and still in hope that he is, but really, really wanting him to pull it together and give us a show in this next game.
Yeah. All right. I like those picks. I like it. Somebody's got to step up and get the job done. They need a big win on Wednesday. And going beyond that, they need a big win next Saturday too, when they go on the road at Florida. It's a back-to-back road games. And Musselman has talked about this is the first time ever, another first in his college coaching career. The Hogs are actually staying on the road for this road game because the U of A is not back in school yet. So they're going to Georgia, playing Wednesday night, staying on the road and playing at Florida Saturday before coming home. So that's not something that you ever really see with college teams outside of like tournament play, like when you go to the Bahamas. So just real quick, give me one word answer here. What is the Hogs' record on this two-game road trip on Wednesday and Saturday against Georgia and then against Florida? Matt, I'll start with you.
1-1. I think we lose to Florida.
All right, Joey.
1-1 with a loss to Florida. We have to win at least one to be hopeful.
Yeah, I agree that one is probably the minimum. I think they get them both. I think they go 2-0 on the road and give us some more hope, maybe turn things around a little bit. I know that that's probably really optimistic after what
Very
we just
bold.
Watched on Saturday.
Very bold.
Not natural for Brandon. I'm concerned about his health now.
Yeah. No doubt. But that brings me to my one final question, and just another, we've been talking about it a lot, so we'll keep it brief discussion, but how are we feeling? Especially, we're talking about they need at least one win here on the road in this road trip to stay at least alive in their season, to at least survive and have hope. I said before SEC play started that they needed to win about 3 or 4 of their quadrant one games and go essentially undefeated everywhere else. And that includes both of these away games. Neither of them are quadrant. Florida is a quadrant one game on the road. That's right. So definitely need to win this Georgia game. But they still need to pick up, I think, at least 3, preferably 4 Q1 wins before SEC play ends to really have a good shot at the tournament. And that includes winning all of their non-Q1 games. So how are you feeling about potentially still making the NCAA tournament? Are you just dead in the water? Do you think that it's still on the table but not looking great? Where are you at right now, Joey?
No, I think I still have hope that we'll get a bid. I am not completely dead inside about them. I think that the Auburn game wasn't necessarily a fluke, but I don't see us getting 30 pieced in many more games, if any. So I'm still hopeful.
Well, earlier in the season, I'm pretty sure I said no tournament, and I'm going to stick with that. I don't think we make it. I feel like we've dug ourselves such a deep hole that, even though we will probably play these games close, and give a good fight, it's hard to win that many. It is hard, especially when you've already lost so many. I'm just not very hopeful that we make the tournament. Maybe we can pull together a good run and make it entertaining the rest of the season, but it's going to be tough to get in the tournament right now.
Yeah, I think you're both right on the fence of it. I think we're right on the border of being possible still. And it's going to take a lot. They're going to have to win a lot of big games. I saw a tweet earlier today by an account called Made for March, and it was teams with the lowest net rankings on January 8th to ever get an at-large bid for the NCAA tournament, meaning they made it in without having to win their conference tournament. And the lowest team that ever did it was in 2022. Rutgers was ranked 116th on January 8th, and they made it in. The second lowest team was 2022 Arkansas, when they were ranked 93rd. But that was the team that rattled off, I think it was like 14 out of 15 in SEC play. And so that's a tough task to repeat, especially the way that this team has been struggling, being so uncharacteristic of anything we've seen before from a Musselman team. You know, if it was offensive struggles, but they were still locking teams down and we're closing out games where it's 61-58, it's a different thing. But when we're allowing a team to score 80 and we're still in that 50 zone,
yeah,
it's a problem. But
yep.
But this team currently, Arkansas currently ranks 105 in the net ranking. So if they do make it as an at-large bid, they would become the second lowest seed ever on January 8th to then make the tournament. So again, a tall task, but the proof is right there that Musselman has done it before. So I know you can't guarantee anything based on previous seasons, but if there's someone that can turn it around and figure it out, you know, he's still got time to do it. So they're not dead in the water yet, like Joey said, but it does look bleak right now with how things are sitting and how many, just how many games they're going to have to win to get there. So not overly hopeful, but not out of it yet, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So, but that's all we got for today. We appreciate you guys joining us, listening to some Arkansas basketball talk. Reminder that we are brought to you by the Field of 68 Podcast Network. You can find us on YouTube, Twitter, wherever you get your podcasts under 30 Minutes of Help podcast. I've been your host, Brandon Baker, joined as always by Joey Jackson and Matt Jackson. You can find us on Twitter as well. And as always, Woo Pig.
Thanks, y'all.
The headlines remind us daily, the world is a dangerous place. The elites in charge say everything's fine, stop noticing, but you know better. And your gut knows that time is short to prepare for a world that is four missed meals away from chaos. My Patriot Supply has helped over 3 million families become more self-reliant and is the company Americans trust to prepare. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each contain delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Secure at least one food kit for each family member. For a limited time, save $200, plus get free shipping on all their Ready Hour 3-month emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. My Patriot Supply also has solar power generators, water filtration units, biomass stoves, heirloom seeds, and critical survival gear. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.